last few years have been difficult for the Muslim community with what happened in New York and what happened in London, and because of various events around the world. On occasion, there are some demonstrators who are determined on a course of action, whether that action be lawful or not, and it's the police's job to stop them. What I do dispute is that any of those confrontations were one-sided and the police were the aggressors.
This story begins with three young men, Sid, Scott, and Mossab. In January 2009, they went on a protest against the Israeli Gaza war. Within a year, they'd all be in prison.
My name is Mossab Alani. I am Iraqi. I am a British. I'm English and I'm British. My parents are from Iraq. I don't lose my heritage. I know where I'm from, but I also know where I am. I went because of the atrocities that happened in Gaza at the time. Israel were they were committing illegal war crimes on Gaza, and I felt very emotional, and I was very upset at the fact that Britain had not done anything about it. So the best thing and the most democratic thing to do is to protest.
There were protests in London every day from the 29th of December until the end of the 22-day conflict. Organisers claim that over 100,000 people attended.
It was brilliant. It was fantastic. People of all different races, of all different backgrounds, all in one place, all for one cause, and that was peace. It was a fantastic atmosphere, very peaceful, and I felt proud to be British.
My brother's name is Sid Ali Zanaf, and he's my older brother, and it's like we're really tight. Like, we do like most of the things we do is with each other. For example, we go gym together and everything else.
So Sid is a he's an energetic guy, basically, funny as well. He's always he loves to just be with us sometimes, you know. He's friends. Me, I'm like a brother to him, you know. Every time I come to, you know, to his house, it's like my house, basically. Really, he's a fun guy to be with. You know, he's always in a good mood with us, always wanting to be just, you know, free, just go outside and have fun, really. That was Sid.
It was our first protest, and we went to see how it was, like, our first experience of a protest. As Muslims, we should all, like, fight together. We should all stand up together against, like, a cause like Gaza.
For us to be there, it felt really, really good.
These protests weren't policed in any sort of normal sense. These protests, I would suggest, were attacked by the police. And many of the violent confrontations which we saw towards the end of these protests was a direct result of the police and tactics we saw at the beginning.
After the main protest, there were plans to demonstrate outside the Israeli embassy. For some bizarre reason, the police tried to obstruct us from doing so. On the journey towards the Israeli embassy, they directed us towards an underpassage. We had no idea why. We asked them, why take us under the underpassage? It's narrow, there are loads of people here. We were charged fiercely three times, hit with batons. Women, children, girls were crying. It was a toxic atmosphere. When we get charged, we all run back and stamp on each other, trying to save ourselves, and we are hit. And then when we think it's all over, they start again within the space of 10 seconds. Some people couldn't even get back up by that time. And when they charged us that third time, we were on the floor, and they charged us as well. We had our legs crossed on the floor and batting our heads. Everybody was shouting. Everybody was running. It was like, it, it, It was as if this wasn't in England. It was somewhere I've never seen before.
My neighbours two doors down to me, who my son actually married, I looked at them after 9/11. I actually went up to one of them and went, "Are you happy? Are you happy now?"
This is Linda. Her son Scott converted to Islam a few years ago and was also at the demonstration.
You know, how ignorant is that? My neighbours didn't do that, but that was pure ignorance. You know, and I admit that I was ignorant. And now she's my daughter-in-law. And I love her to death. I have the most beautiful grandson. And I have a loving, kind, very gentle son who happens to be Muslim. And I think that if he hadn't have been that way, I would think he would have turned into a proper little tow rag. What my son was saying, that the people over there are getting killed. And and I'm proud of the fact that my son stood up and said that, and I will always be proud of my son.
This is the scene in central London tonight. The police out in force, roads sealed off, and people trying to reach the Israeli embassy hemmed in and being kept under tight control. When these protests began, the Israelis had not gone into Gaza, and things were already tense enough.
From the tunnel, protesters made their way to outside the Israeli embassy. It was here that arrests would be made.
The police held people in pens for quite a number of hours outside the Israeli embassy, up to about 7 or 8 hours on some occasions, in freezing temperatures as well. This was a very cold January.
There was a crush. There was a point at which it seemed as though people would get hurt as they were being pushed into that small area. And it seemed the most logical thing to move those barriers out of the way. When people did attempt to move the barriers, the police then reacted with huge force. They were using baton strikes quite brutally against the people that were there.
He actually got hit as well, which actually got him kind of angry. He got hit twice onto the floor. He was actually hit down a few times.
Sid was then involved in throwing a stick, a barrier, and also kicking a police shield.
Four policemen wrestled him down, handcuffed him, and just took him to that big truck, and just took him away.
They were targeting them because they wanted to teach the Muslim community a lesson about where the limits are in political activity for the Muslim community in this country. And I think it reflects a wider political approach in Britain, which is both by the previous government and I would assume by this government as well, which is that they want to set clear limits to political activity in the Muslim community because they regard it as in some way connected with terrorism, whereas in fact it's the very opposite, and also because they are well aware that the Muslim community in this country is a very core part of the active opposition to British foreign policy in the Muslim world, and particularly in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Decision that they were simply going to round up the entire protest, the entire group that was there. And then having surrounded that area, they moved inwards using their shields again. There are specific tactics that the British police use that are not used elsewhere, or at least not in many other places. And they're very keen on gathering data. They have an intelligence-led approach to policing protest, which means that they are very, very keen to gather a lot of data on who the protesters are, what are their names, what are the political organisations they're part of, what are the aims and objectives. They've built up a huge database.
It will have been seen by the protesters as an attempt to profile them and create records for them, which can then be used in the police's and the security services' wider targeting of the Muslim community.
We were kettleballed for a good 3 hours, I think. My sister, who is diabetic, was kettleballed with us. Hearing her cry and call me, asking me if I'm okay, is she okay? Hearing children cry, friends. I was frustrated, I was hurt, I was battered, and I had done nothing wrong.
Scott doesn't like having his photograph taken. I've got a few photographs of him when he's like small. I mean, this one is taken in the Victorian style, but even then you can see he doesn't look very happy about having his photo done.
Linda's son Scott was also being kettled.
Someone handed him two fireworks that he threw, but I've seen worse at football matches. I've seen people throw fireworks at football matches. They don't get 2 years.
I think there's no doubt that kettling is a completely illegitimate form of policing in the protest. It prevents people going about their lawful business. It prevents them leaving the demonstration. It's a form of imprisonment for a short period, which is completely out of order. And of course, it stimulates and creates frustration and a violent response, or can do, from the crowd.
There is a tactic called containment, which is perfectly legitimate in my view, and you cannot let a group of potentially violent, particularly when violence has already occurred, you cannot let a large group of violent people break away willy-nilly in all different directions with no control. So therefore containment is used to quite literally wear them down, get them tired, and allow them to leave in dribs and drabs peaceably. I'm not saying it's a tactic that we would want to use all the time, but it is a tactic, and the alternatives are tear gas, batten rounds, and that's what people want. Then, you know, if someone can come up with a better way of policing protests than we've got in this country, then please tell me what it is, because I don't know what it is.
They then said to people after a number of hours that you can be released one by one if you agree to be searched. Have your photograph taken and you provide us with your name and address, and people reluctantly agreed.
I think the police have reflected in the way they police these demonstrations that wider blurring of the line between terrorism and political activity, and I think the police are very sensitive to mood music from the Home Office and the government as a whole, and I think they were picking that up very strongly. I mean, after all, at senior levels, there's a lot of contact between different government departments and the police over how to treat and the security services, of course, how to treat the issue of politicisation in the Muslim community.
For me, the way in which the arrests were carried out is really crucial and really significant, and probably one of the most alarming features of these cases.
The police arrested 119 people after the demonstrations. This is the story of Yahya Tabani.
It was around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, everyone was dead asleep. The first thing I opened my eyes, you know, there's three big officers on the top of me, you know, with their knees on the top of me, putting their handcuffs on, you know. You know, first thing they got to my head, you know, this could be a dream. My dad was shouting at them, you know, telling them that, you know, my sons are not terrorists, you know, they're good family. They broke the door and it was mad, you know. I mean, neighbors saw it now, you know, our neighbors, they don't even talk to us. They had the gut to tell us, you know, that if we were back home, we would have treated so badly, and we should, you know, thank God that, you know, these are the British police.
The police came in force to their family homes at 5 in the morning, kicked down the doors, and treated them as though they were terror suspects. And of course, there's no justification whatever for any of that. And I don't believe that the police can conceivably have a legitimate answer. Their claim at the time was that they were suspected of having weapons in the house. There was no evidence for that they came up with, and of course no weapons were found. These were protesters on a legitimate democratic protest who were treated like terrorism suspects, and their families were terrorised, in fact, by the police.
Breaking down doors is a normal police tactic. It happens every morning in different parts of London for different types of crime. Not just Muslim people, but all sorts of people will have had their door broken down this very morning, I'm sure, all across London. Handcuffing people in a confined space is a normal tactic. It's for safety and security.
Scott was arrested months later in a shopping centre in East London. He was taken and questioned by the police.
The questions they asked was, what do you feel about suicide bombers? What do you think about 7/7? What do you think about 9/11? What the hell has that got to do with what he'd been arrested for?
The Crown Prosecution Service pressed charges, and Scott was sentenced to 2 years in prison.
For his young son, who, as I say, is only 6 months old, it's hard for him. He misses his dad. His dad is going to miss him, his first steps, his first everything, his first crawling. He's going to miss all that.
So of the people who were charged, I think 79 were charged, and all but two of them were Muslims. So it's absolutely indisputable that in some way the Muslim protesters were being singled out.
When he phoned my mum, when we heard that, that's it, he told my mum that no one's coming out, everyone's being taken, everyone's being, that people that have gone in the courtroom haven't come back out. And he's like, the same thing's gonna happen to me. And he apologised and everything, and that's it. Last we heard of him.
Sid Ali was sentenced to 2 years in prison. That left Mossab.
Well, I had my mother on, and my family on the left, and reporters on the right, and then my judge in front, the judge in front of me, and my hands, you know, I knew that it was inevitable that I will be sent to prison. I could not do much but cry. I mean, my main concern was my mother. I knew this was something extraordinary, and it would be very difficult for her to, you know, to cope. And I think that's why I was crying.
He said to my son, I know you come here to peacefully protest peacefully. I know you didn't cover your face. I know from a good professional family. I know you didn't plan this. I know you said sorry to the police. I know you have a good character, but honest, at that time I thought you would set him free. And I was happy, smiling, I was happy with the judge. But he said after that, I want to have a deterrent.
Mossab was sentenced to 12 months in prison.
People throwing plastic bottles, I have seen on countless demonstrations and events of public disorder in this country, people throwing plastic bottles at the police, and never seen them being singled out for arrest, let alone being charged, let alone being sent to prison. I mean, this is a completely disproportionate response by the police and the courts, and it can only be seen, and is seen, by Muslims in Britain as singling them out for not only special treatment, but also restricting their right to take part in democratic politics, which is a dangerous message. And the explicit singling them out for deterrent sentences, as the judge termed them, seems to me a politicization of the courts. It's basically saying not that you will be charged and tried and sentenced for what you've actually done as anyone else would be in any normal demonstration, but that this is somehow special and subject to special legal and judicial constraints.
I can't change people's perceptions. All I can say is this, is if the police arrested people who have since been convicted by a court, which would tend to suggest to me that the police were right, if it happens to be that the people at the front of that protest, who are the ones who were nearest the police, who are the ones who were visible to the police and were seen committing crimes, were young Muslims, males, then they were the ones that got arrested. If the people at the back of the protest were the white middle classes And didn't get arrested, that's probably why.
All the way through the criminal justice system, for example, black people, as an example, are more likely to be stopped and searched, they're more likely to be arrested, they're more likely to be charged. When they get to the courtroom, they're also more likely to get custodial sentences. And that's the reason that we see a disproportionate number of people from black and minority ethnic groups in prison, for example. They're more likely to be given custodial sentences, despite no evidence of any increased level of criminality amongst that particular group. So there is concrete evidence in fact that there's institutional racism within the criminal justice system.
When my son tried to phone me, I tried to hide my cry as well. Still now I'm crying, to be honest. Prison, everybody breaks down in prison. I've broken down in prison. I have cried in prison because you think about your family. You can't help but think about your past. You know, in the hospital, I usually, they call me, you have a smiley face always, but the nurse told me, what happened to you, Dr. Lani? You're not smiling anymore. Of course, I really, my smile has gone.
The vast majority of people won't attend a demonstration again. I think that's a travesty, really, and I think, again, it's one of the most disturbing implications of these cases.
The reason Sid is in jail is because of to put out a message to the Muslim people to not have a protest again.
I wanted to go on the anti-fascist protest, but my parents never really let me because of what happened to my brother, and they didn't want me being in the same position as my brother is right now.
It's a good question. I would say no. But I don't want this deterrent to really hinder people's rights to protest. So, the question is, will the police still continue their brutal onslaught on the protesters? And if so, I wouldn't risk it.
I will not send Mus'ab and my other daughters to protest again. Because in my situation, I don't think my family will not be able to stand another trauma, of any sort of trauma. So even my daughter, which Mariam used to be politically active and go to every demonstration, she said, no, that I will not demonstrate again. I don't think if anything happened, you'll stand any other trauma.
We have to be realistic here. Protest in this country is among the most peaceable protest anywhere in the world. It has the least interference from police probably anywhere in Europe, or certainly if you look at some of the footage we've seen recently from places in Asia. Protest is completely different there, with baton rounds, gunfire. We don't have that.
Here is a British young man put in a prison for 1 year for throwing a single bottle on Israeli embassy on the gate. This bottle didn't harm anybody, but yet a judge put him in a prison for 1 year, destroying his future and destroying my family. I'll leave it to the public to decide.